We have a couple things about Camp Oshkosh, and then I'll get on with the message. But one of the things that we do, it's coming up this March, is a winter retreat called Marriage Boost. And so there's some fallacies about marriage and divorce. A lot of people think that half of the marriages end in divorce. And a lot of people think that the rate of divorce is as bad within the church as it is without outside of the church. And there's a recent book, and this lady named Shanti, it's called The Good News About Marriage. And if you haven't read that book, I would say pick it up. And she had some really good surveys, and she actually shows that the divorce rate is way less than 50%. And people that are involved in church and committed to Christ actually have a way less divorce rate than the average person in society. So faith makes a big difference. Marriage isn't all bad. And part of the things that she said in her book was that when often couples come to a point where they're struggling, and one of them is feeling like, is this all that marriage is? I need to give up. And the study shows that people who don't give up, who endure, who get help, who find solutions, but they stick it out within their marriage. The studies show that like something like 5 years later, they look back and they go, I am so happy. I'm happy in my marriage. I'm happy that I pushed through this and we've succeeded. On the other hand, the couples that don't resolve the issues, they end up splitting up and divorced. The studies show that years later, they look back and they go, wow, I wish we would have worked harder at this because marriage was so important. So Marriage Boost is designed to help couples come together and strengthen their marriage to stay together because it is so important. One of the other things that we do is in summer, it's couples getaway. Again, it's a weekend retreat. You just come up and have some fun on the lake and connect together with your spouse. Obviously, a large part of marriage is having fun together. And when you got a whole pile of kids and a whole pile of stress, you know, you don't always get that moment. So couples getaway is designed to be that weekend for you. And then, of course, there's family camp. And I don't know if you guys got these handouts on the way in, but you can get one on the way out. So on one side, it just shares a little bit about Camp Oshkosh. But the other side is some follow-up to my message this morning. So if you want to have some follow-up notes, there's some questions in here that are designed that you can have either with your family discussion or in a small group or something like that. If you just want to dive in a little bit deeper to what we're talking about this morning. So Camp Oshkosh promo on one side, sermon notes in the other. Pretty good, hey? So one other thing. I forgot to say good morning. Good morning. Okay, that's a good response. Everybody's with me. That's awesome. Just quickly, one other thing. If you've known about Camp Oshkosh for a while, Henry and Susan Block, of course, were some of the key founding people, and they have recently just produced this book. It's the story of Oshkosh. And I'll leave some here with Shane. And so if you want to read the story of Oshkosh, kind of like how it started in the 70s to where it gets to now, you can contact Shane or the office or something like that, and you can get your book here at the church. So, anyways, enough about that. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together, for the freedom we have here in Canada to gather as Christians and just worship you. Thank you for your love, for your power in our lives, and for your direction. And I just pray right now that you would give me the words to say, but mostly that your Spirit would be here, encouraging, prompting, and providing the message that we all need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So my message today is entitled, Seeing God in the Ups and Downs. I believe God is at work in our lives all over the place. not only in our lives, but in everybody's lives. I believe that God is the creator God who not only created the world and all of us, but he continues to create opportunities, experiences for us to get to know him and to encounter him more and more. I believe he's creating all these things all the time. And sometimes we just need to be able to recognize it and look at it. And so today I just want to share a little bit about this. As an example, I've got a friend, Daryl, and a number of months ago, Daryl's in my small group, and we're hanging out together, and we've just been talking about seeing God in the ordinary parts of life. And so one day I got this phone call from Daryl. He calls me up in his cell phone. He's all excited. He's going, "Gil, you can't believe what happened." I'm going, "Yeah, what happened?" "Well, it's my mom's birthday today. It's her 75th birthday. And her mother lives in Calgary." And of course, Daryl lives up in Saskatoon area. And he's going, like, "I was so bummed because here it is, my mom's 75th birthday, and I'm not going to be able to see her and, like, wish her happy birthday and all that stuff." But then I got to work this morning, and you won't believe what happened. I got a call to do a delivery to Calgary. So right now, I'm on my way driving to Calgary. I'm going to make the delivery. Then I'm going to phone up my mother, and I'm going to say, like, "Hey, Mom, let's go for supper." And she's going to go, like, "What?" And it's like, and not only that, I'm getting paid for this whole thing, too. And he's just like, God is so good. And, you know, the cool thing is that Daryl recognized that this wasn't just a coincidence. This was God creating these things for him to happen. A lot of people, you know, I don't actually believe in coincidences. I believe that God brings things together. And often we just need to sit and we need to recognize that God is there. He's working. He's pulling things together. Those are the ups. There's also the downs. What happens when it feels like God isn't answering our prayer? Or what happens when we're going through struggles and hurts and problems and it's like, God, like, where are you now? This spring, within Youth for Christ and a number of other communities, we experienced this with this girl named Caitlin. The picture is right here. Caitlin came to Youth for Christ about 4 years ago, and she did a year internship with us. She loved to play hockey. She was very outgoing, and she loved to hang out and connect with kids, and she really liked, actually, to connect girls in hockey together. So she did a great job with Youth for Christ. And through our connection there, she also got connected with a camp, Camp Kadesh. And she became very involved there and was working there. And it was in January. She was having some health issues. And she went for some tests in PA. And I think it was sometime in February, she found out that she had cancer, and it wasn't good. And we prayed. She prayed. The Forest Grove pastors, because she's connected at Forest Grove as well, we all gathered up in her hotel or in the hospital room, and we anointed her with oil, and we gathered around, and we prayed for her. And of course, we prayed that she would be healed here. We prayed. She was just young. But God didn't answer those prayers like we wanted. It was April that she passed away, just a few months after she found out that she had cancer. And it's like, you know, you ask God, "God, like, where are you in this? What's up with that?" Many years ago, my best friend Dallas was killed in a car accident. He was 16 years old at the time. So I actually found an old family picture, Dallas and his three sisters. Dallas was a great kid. He loved God. Actually, the accident that he was in, they were on their way to Manitoba for quiz meet because he was really good at memorization and quizzing. In fact, both of us worked on a farm. He worked with his dad on his farm. I worked with my uncles on their farm. So in the summer, we would be driving tractor and plowing fields and stuff like that. And while I was out there in the fields plowing stuff, I was just listening to the radio rock station and like rocking out and having fun. And, you know, Dallas was memorizing the Bible while he drove tractor. And he had memorized not just verses, chapters, but books. So they're on their way to this quiz meet, and I guess they hit head on with a semi, and he was killed instantly. 16 years old. And it's like, okay, God, what's up with that? Like, Dallas was living for you. He was, like, doing great things, and I was just living for Gil. Like, why would you take Dallas and not me? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And why would you take Dallas? And so I'm sure everybody here has a story, has a similar kind of feeling or thought that, you know, sometimes you're asking God this question, why? Why does this happen? Why don't you heal me? Why don't you solve this problem? And so where is God in this? So today I want to share with you a couple of Bible passages and thoughts that I have that I hope could address some of this. See, one of the verses that grounds me is John 10:10. And John 10:10, in this verse, Jesus simply says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly. And I'm sure most of you have heard this verse before. But to me, this verse is so important. And there's like this tension or this opposite in this verse. So it's Jesus says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief meaning Satan, the devil, our enemy. He's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. So the number of other verses that we're going to be sharing here this morning, I want you to look at this kind of this comparison. It's the thief that comes to steal. It's Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's Jesus that comes to give life. Satan destroys. Jesus brings life. We're going to see this throughout. And here's the thing that really gets me. Because in situations like Dallas and Caitlin and all these other things, I don't believe it's God that's bringing the death in these situations. I believe it's Satan. But what happens is, so not only does Satan bring the death and bring everything, but he gets us to blame God for it. So at the end, we have all the destruction, and then people are like throwing their hands up in the air and they're going, okay, God, what's up with that? So our enemy destroys everything, and he gets us to blame God for it all. Like, doesn't make sense. So I want to share with you a little bit what I believe to be the God story in our lives. And it comes from the book of Romans. And there's these number of these verses. It's called the Romans Road. Just show of hands, has anybody heard of the phrase the Romans Road? Yeah. So it's pretty popular. It's a group of verses that talk about the God story. So it's a good group of verses if you have a friend that needs to know, like, how do I know God's story? These are kind of like the go-to verses for you. So the first one is Romans 3:23, which simply says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so right here, we can see the tension. We can see the opposites again. So first of all, for all have sinned. So all are on this side. We've sinned. And what have we done? We've fallen short of the glory of God. Or you could put it, we've fallen short of God's glorious ideal, what he has for us. So because we have sinned, we've fallen short of the glorious plan that God has for us. The next verse, Romans 6:23, the first part just talks about, for the wages of sin is death. So when God created the earth, he created it to be perfect. It was sin that brought in death, disease, and separation from God. So it's because of the sin that we've done that this world is broken. I don't think I need to convince anybody here that we live in a broken world. We live in a broken society. There's brokenness all around us. It's not God's fault. It's a result, the broken world that we live in is a result of sin. It says the wages, or if you want to call it the penalty for sin, is death. So that's Satan's doing. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that brings death. Wow, that's not fun to talk about, is it? I got to lighten it up a little bit. I have a gift. I have a gift bag, and there's a gift in here, and I'm going to give this to whomever wants to come and get it. I'm not joking. It's right there. Just a minute. What's your name?
Ruth.
Ruth, okay. Oh, okay. Nice. Okay, Ruth, just, you want to open it, because we're all curious, right? Who's curious? Everybody. If you're curious, why didn't you come get it yourself? Oh. Yeah, you should show them what's in there. Yeah, well, you can share or not, I don't know, after. Chocolate peanut butter cups, one of my favorite. So, thank you, Ruth, the gift is yours. So now, who here is not wishing they had the guts to come up, okay? Yeah, okay. Well, if you know Romans 6:23, you probably know exactly where I'm going here. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, a little bit better than chocolate peanut butter, I would say that. But the penalty of sin is death. But God made a way for us to experience life and experience life to the full. The thing about this gift, and we're going to touch on this a little bit later, so I'm curious why some people didn't like the free gift that was right there. Do you ever wonder why it is that people don't receive the free gift that Jesus has for us? Like, she didn't have to. You didn't have to do too much. You had to come up and you had to just receive the gift. You had to open it up and you had to accept it. And accepting the gift of Jesus has for us isn't that difficult. So why is it that so many people just don't accept the gift? Is it because we don't really trust God, that He's good and He loves us? Is it because we think there's a catch or a hook or something like that, when really we need to trust God? The next verse in the Romans Road is, it speaks a little bit more about this. It's Romans 5, verse 8. And of course, we know that He made the way, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the gift that God has for us. The gift of salvation, the gift of life. And I believe it's not just the gift of eternal life, life in heaven, which of course it is, and which of course is glorious, but I believe it's also life here on this earth. I believe He gives us life to the full right here, right now, and we can experience that. So how do we receive the gift? It's simply in Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's simple as just accepting the gift that Jesus has for us. You confess that you're a sinner. You accept that Jesus died for you, that you believe that He raised from the dead, and He will come in and He will save you. And that's the gift. And in a nutshell, that's what the Romans Road scriptures are. And so on Coffee Row or something like that, if you're having a conversation with somebody and they're wondering, like, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is this faith thing all about? How do you become a Christian? Those are the core verses that you can take somebody to and just share them with that. But I want to take it just a step further here this morning. There's a couple of other Romans verses that I believe continue to tell the God story and his love for us. The next one is Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. I got to pull it up here. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In short, nothing in all of creation can separate us from God's love. Okay? Nothing. If you're here this morning and you're questioning God, where's your love? God, why don't I feel you in my life? Where are you, God, in this moment? The truth of the scripture is that God's love is there. And there is nothing that can separate his love from your life. That's the truth. Whether we feel it or not, it's true. I was thinking about this question a couple weeks ago. Is God real because he's real? Or is God real because we believe him to be real? The obvious answer to that question is, God is real because he's real. God is love because he's love. God is truth because he's truth. What I believe about God does not change the reality of who God is. So if I'm feeling like God doesn't love me, or God is distant, or God doesn't care, that's just my perception on what's happening. It's not the true reality of what God's character is all about. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's another verse in Romans that I love as well. Romans 8, verse 28. And this verse says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I like the New American Standard Version. It's slightly different. It says this, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." I like that first phrase, God causes all things to work together. Now, I will admit, sometimes in church culture, we use this verse as a simple band-aid. Somebody's going through some pain, somebody's having some issues, some problems, and we go along and we go, you know what Romans 8:28 says? Like, God's going to make everything work good, and we kind of like try to slap it on like a band-aid. And this verse isn't intended to do that. It is true, but sometimes it's hard for us to grasp and accept the truth. And sometimes when somebody just comes along and glibly says, God's going to make it all good, you know, just give it all to God, it doesn't ring truth and it doesn't help the situation. But the truth of the matter is, God does work for the good of those who love him. Back to John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life. See, this is what I believe is happening in the whole situation, is that Satan tries to destroy us with different things. And God, in his creative wisdom, likes to take the bad things that God, that Satan's tried to do, and he likes to twist them into good for our good and for his glory. God loves to take the things, the bad things that Satan has, the plans that he has for you. He likes to take those and he likes to turn them around into something good. This story is all throughout the Old Testament. Story after story of people who Satan tries to do something bad. And there's struggles. There's like the book of Job is an example where he goes through a lot of struggles. But God brings them through that for God's glory. There's Joseph, who's thrown into pit. He's thrown into jail. He's gone through all sorts of stuff. And God takes all of that stuff, and he helps Joseph save the whole Israel nation. God continually does this. I know I'm supposed to be here today to speak this message for a number of reasons, but one is that this is actually Caitlin, the girl that I was talking about before. This is her arm. And she had, go back for a minute. She had this tattoo on her arm. The tattoo simply means it's God is greater than your ups and downs, or God is greater than your highs and lows. That's what those symbols mean. And this was something that was very important to her and meant something to her, and she had it tattooed on her arm. And this was kind of like her grounding throughout this whole cancer episode. And there were some amazing things that God did through this. Her memorial service was incredible. Forest Grove was like, the whole basement was full of people who came out. A number of these people were young people who were connected to her through the Youth for Christ ministry, through Kadesh ministry. A number of these people are people who would never go to church. But they came and they heard more of Caitlin's story and her love for God, and they experienced it, and they heard the gospel message there. That was incredible. Her family, her immediate family, are not all believers, and they were also at the funeral, and Caitlin's story is inspiring them to follow God even further. And I don't know what the end of Caitlin's story is, but I know that God he's turning things good out of the bad that happened. My best friend Dallas, like I said, he worked on a farm. He farmed with his dad. And there was a section of land that was intended to be his farmland. And when Dallas passed away, his dad and my dad and a few other people were connected. And the short end of the story is that this camp called Dallas Valley Ranch Camp down by Regina, some of you have heard of it, that was created on some of the land that belonged to Dallas. And so every summer now, thousands of young people come to Dallas Valley Ranch Camp, and they hear about the gospel of Jesus. And this is something that happened out of the tragedy of that accident situation. Did it reduce the pain that the family went through? Do they like not still miss and long for their boy Dallas? Absolutely. When I would go and just connect with the family or whatever, it's like every time the mom would look at me, I just felt like it was like she was kind of like seeing a part of Dallas and wondering like, what would Dallas be at this age and stuff like that. You know, they longed for Dallas. So it didn't change necessarily the pain that they were going through. But they saw the good that God brought out of that pain. And that gave them something to cling on to, and that gave them hope. And so we're looking for the same thing here with Caitlin. I believe that's going to happen. So as I close, in just a minute, my wife is going to come up and sing, but as I close here this morning, first of all, maybe there's somebody here, you have never received the gift of salvation that God has for you. And if that's the situation, let me know that, or I'll tell you that this whole service, God arranged this for you. He brought you here, he brought me here, so that we could have this conversation together. And if you've never come up and you've never taken this gift that's free, you've never taken that step, I would just encourage you, I'll say a prayer in a minute. You just pray and you just say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I accept the gift. I believe that you're Lord and Savior. Would you come into my life? You can take that gift and you can receive it right now. My thought is that most people here have already done that at some point. But there's also a prayer that you can pray this morning. And I don't know what your situation is, but chances are there's somebody here who is struggling with their faith in God. Things have happened in your life and you're just like, God, I don't see you. I would like to see you, but I don't see you. And your prayer can just be, God, would you help me trust you? Even though I don't see you, and even though I don't feel you, help me trust you with the truth that you love me and that nothing separates me from God and that you want to turn something good out of my pain and out of my struggle. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. And I thank you for your love for us. And right now, I would just say, if there's somebody here who would like to pray to receive Jesus, you just pray these words. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I would love to receive the free gift of salvation that you give me. I believe that you came here on earth, that you died for my sin, that you rose again, and you're in heaven preparing a place for me. So would you please just forgive my sin? Come into my life and make me a new person and give me that life that you said is available to me in John. I love you, Jesus. Amen. And if you prayed that, you can just please let somebody know. For everybody else, maybe your prayer is like this. Father, I love you, but sometimes it's hard. It's hard to trust. It's hard to see when I'm going through some situations and you don't seem to be there. And I just pray that you would help me to receive the truth that you have, that you are always there for me, you will always love me, that nothing can separate your love from my life. Help me to believe that and see that. And help me see the good through the bad, the life through the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's more of a prayer. It's a conversation with God about prayer and about faith. So if it's something that while I'm singing, you feel like you would rather close your eyes so that you can personalize it, feel free to do that. Or sing along, or however you like.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I try to win this war, I confess. My hands are tired, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I needed you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things be my life and breath. I want what you want and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm leading you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are
Thank you so much, Gil and Allison, for spending time with us this morning and sharing with us. We appreciate that very, very much. Thank you for the message. By the way, Leanne will be available at the front for prayer after the service today, so if you'd please rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Have a good week, everybody.